Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business. Now, against all odds, South Africa's economy has been stringing together a few pieces of good news lately, much like the Springboks and the Proteas. Inflation is easing back towards the midpoint, now at 3%. Electricity and logistics is improving at the margins, and we've seen the first meaningful interest rate cuts starting to finally filter through. But the real question is, are South African households feeling it yet? The latest Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index for the second quarter this year gives us one of the clearest windows into the financial pulse of the consumer. And while the headline numbers do show improvement, I think the story beneath the surface is a bit more complicated. I'm joined now by the economist behind the index, Dr. Roelof Botha. Roelof, always a pleasure, and not often that we get to open a conversation on the South African economy with something resembling good news. But your latest report does show early signs of household resilience returning. Before we get into the weeds, give us your top line read on where South Africa's households actually stand heading into the last stretch of the year.
Thanks, Michael. Yes, it's a significant improvement, much better than a year ago. But it's, in the words of Johan Jedetli, the MD of Altron FinTech, it's a little bit artificial because it has been influenced, certainly to a large extent, by the two-pot system. There have been significant withdrawals from pension funds, which is fine. One has empathy for somebody whose car broke down and he's got this avenue that he can follow, but they're going to have to work harder, smarter, or longer, you know, to replenish those savings. And, you know, obviously it has boosted the index. I think it's almost more important to look at the average real change in the index since the rate hiking cycle of the Monetary Policy Committee started at the end of 2021. And that is 0.2%, which tells you that South African households are still battling with the after effects, after shocks of firstly of state capture, secondly of COVID, and more importantly of late of the ridiculously conservative restrictive monetary policy of the MPC.
And you've argued publicly that South Africa is suffering from a self-inflicted suppression of demand because of that. And there was a great graph on page 4, which shows the Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index versus the prime rate. And it's a beautifully tight inverse relationship. To what extent did the May cut to 10.75% drive that improvement that we saw in the second quarter? And then my second question to you is, now that we're officially at this 3% new target, what do you expect that to do to rates in the medium term? Because if we start to grow even a little bit, I think it's going to be very difficult for the MPC to cut rates further because, you know, there isn't that much excess capacity in the economy and you could see inflation rising well beyond the 3% mark again.
Absolutely, Michael. If we can just start with the inverse relationship between the Altron FinTech Index and the prime rate, that's quite predictable. But you see that all over the show. You see that with the Better Bond Index of home loan applications, exactly the same. It's a predictable inverse relationship. As the prime rates climbed and climbed and climbed, the applications for home loans of prospective home buyers just dropped all the way. From the day that they lowered the first 25 bips, September last year, it started climbing up a little bit again, but it's nowhere where it should be. As far as the 3% inflation target point is concerned, and I was aghast, but we saw this coming, but marginally relieved by the fact that Minister Gorongwana seems to have, you know, at least coerced them into this sort of extra flexibility that they have up to 4%. So effectively what we've got now, instead of 3 to 6% range, we have now a 3 to 4% range. Although the Reserve Bank prefers not to talk about that because they are arch conservatives. And it's terrible news. The minute the rand starts depreciating against the US dollar, and that will happen. It will happen in future. We are going to be faced with higher rand costs for all our intermediary inputs, including oil, including petrol, including diesel. And it's going to drive up the producer price index, which in turn, after a couple of months, will increase the consumer price index, but nothing to do with demand. It's got nothing to do with people spending too much money. And then they're going to raise the interest rate. It's crazy. For the life of me, I don't know how they sold this to National Treasury. There must be a dearth of economic acumen in that place.
It sounds very much like we are potentially painting ourselves into a very tight corner in the future. When we look at household balance sheets, Where are you seeing the pressure easing at the moment? Let's peel that onion a little.
Well, the big dilemma is facing households is that their debt servicing costs as a percentage of their disposable income went from 6.7% to 9.3%. It has come down a little bit, but the fact of the matter is that they have to pull out all stops to maintain their standard of living. And in fact, the real per capita disposable income of South African households has declined as a direct result of these interest rates. And that data set will be in a report which is about to be published within the next week or two by the Inclusive Society Institute. I'm the main author of that report. We've also done an econometric analysis of the damage that the excessively restrictive monetary policy has inflicted on this economy. It is frightening evidence. And we are hoping to also present this to Parliament. And we are hoping that we will put pressure on the Minister of Finance to withdraw the new inflation target and go back to 6% range, because that was fine, as long as they don't always aim for the bottom level, but allow for more flexibility and just appreciate the fact that our number one economic policy priority in this country should be to lower the 47%, that's the broad definition, unemployment rate. We need to create jobs in South Africa at pace.
And your slides also show the real prime rate is a strong negative correlation with private sector job creation. Why do you think that this relationship is so persistent in South Africa?
If you go back to another data set, and that is the value of building plans passed, that is between 40 and 50%. It's more than halved of what it was pre-COVID. It has never recovered because of the interest rates going to the highest level in 15 years. Construction is the most labor-intensive sector of the economy by a long shot. Agriculture is number two. And that is our biggest dilemma, is that there is insufficient, grossly insufficient construction activity going on in this country. During that beautiful period, 2006 to 2010, when we built 3 million RDP houses and created millions, literally millions of jobs, I mean, even in John Marcus's period, when she was governor, we created almost 3 million jobs. So that is my concern. I mean, if your interest rates reach levels where people are just not building anything anymore, then you're bound to have higher unemployment. It's as easy as that.
So let's look ahead, because households will ultimately determine whether growth breaks out of this 1% low growth trap. What does your modeling suggest for the Ultra and Findic Household Resilience Index in different rate cut scenarios next year? And can South Africa get back to the kind of household-driven consumption growth that used to underpin growth at 3 to 4% GDP?
Of course we can. It would be the easiest thing in the world to do. We're off the grey list. The bond yield has dropped. It's on its way to a 300 basis point reduction. They're always behind with the repo rate, always. That's their attitude, which is quite ridiculous. But then we need very deep interest rate cuts, as Johan Gelletly from Altron Fintech has suggested. And I haven't discussed this with him. I haven't got a figure with him, but I'm guessing that he will, you know, follow my cue with a minimum 200 basis point reduction. We will get to between 2.5% and 3% growth within 18 months.
Wow. And I mean, that ultimately is what this economy is looking for. Just on a last note there, Roelof, is there a risk that by doing that, there is a kind of boom-bust, sugar-high growth that is unsustainable? How sustainable would that kind of growth be?
If you look at the manufacturing sector, which is a huge sector of our economy, the capacity utilization, Michael, it is still below the level it was before COVID. It has not recovered. There is ample spare capacity in our economy. And your key drivers, the financial and business services sector in South Africa, has almost ad infinitum spare capacity, because you don't need huge factories to create jobs in the services sectors in South Africa. We can really do it. If inflation does creep up to 4% or even 5%, and we have growth of between 3 and 4%, and we make a dent in unemployment, I don't see what the problem is here. There's no empirical evidence that inflation is anywhere in single-digit territory is a bad phenomenon in an emerging market. And that, I think, is the crux of the matter. Mm. We have a Monetary Policy Committee that don't understand the fact that we are not a high-income country. It takes the United States of America 5 days to produce South Africa's annual GDP. We need different policies. If we don't do something about this unemployment rate, we are going to be faced with serious socio-political problems in this country.
Dr. Botha, always a pleasure having you with us and unpacking the latest Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index. And that kind of instability should keep us all up at night as we look for solutions to the number one problem in the country, and that is world-leading unemployment. And if there's one takeaway tonight, it's that the South African consumer is showing some early glimmers of life, but the recovery is extremely fragile and still heavily influenced by that interest rate policy, and in some areas flattered by the once-off pension withdrawals as well. As always, you can find the full release and the charts on the Altron FinTech website, and we'll post today's interview on our Classic Business podcast feed. That's a wrap for Classic Business tonight. Thanks for joining us. But don't go anywhere, because Jennifer Hart is up next with Music Among Friends. Good night.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.